At this stage in the service, I always pray that God will take my lips and speak through them, that he'll take our hearts and love through them, that he'll take our wills and will his will through us, that God will take us, make us the people that he wants us to be, men and women of God, that make a difference to the worlds of which we are respectively a part. We've been thinking with the girls and boys there about walking. Remember, Micah had a problem. In that sixth chapter, he asks, "What does the Lord want of me? Will he be content with rams or he goats? Or rivers of oil, or even the fruit of my body? What does the Lord require of me?" is the question that this man of God asks. And in that eighth verse he comes back with, "To do justly, to walk humbly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with my God." To do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with my God. Those words challenge me as I ask myself, what does God require of me? And I hope challenge you as well as you ask yourself, what does he require of you? I ask myself as a husband in my marriage. And if you're a woman, maybe you're asking, what does the Lord require of you as a wife in your marriage? If you're a parent, what does the Lord require of you as a parent? As an employer, what does the Lord require of you as an employer, as an employee, as a citizen, as one who makes a claim to follow Jesus Christ and to walk in his footsteps? What does the Lord require of me? And think of those three things that Micah thought that the Lord required of him, and not least, to walk humbly with your God. And then we turned to 1 John chapter 2. And remember how that sixth verse, this is how we know that we are in him. Whoever claims to live in him, in other words, whoever claims to live in Jesus, must walk as Jesus walked. Walking humbly with your God, to walk as Jesus walked. Do those words not challenge us today? And particularly those of us who have been claiming to follow Jesus maybe for years. I came to know Jesus as a young man of 16. That's a long time ago. Have I walked with Jesus in the footsteps of Jesus every day since? And do I propose to walk however long or short I have on this scene of time? That's the challenge, to walk as Jesus walked, to live as Jesus would have us live, to walk humbly with our God. I said to the girls and boys a few minutes ago that one of our great interests is walking. We love walking, hill walking, out into the wide open spaces. And you know, there's something about walking in the midst of God's grandeur and God's wonderful creation. And that's the point that I would make to you today. Walking in creation. When you get away from the noise and bustle of towns and cities and workplaces and this kind of thing, just walk in the midst of the grandeur of God's creation. There's a wonderful message in that itself. What a wonderful world God has made. And when we're walking, maybe we have time to see that wonderful world, the vegetation, the extravaganza of color, particularly in this lovely season of summer that confronts us wherever we look, at least the 40 shades of green, the beauty of the earth, the magnificence of it all, the sheer wonder of it all. The heavens indeed declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. Jesus very often used creation to point some great spiritual truth. Look at the lilies of the field, he says. The flowers of the earth, in other words. The birds. The beauty of the earth. We sing about it, but I think we don't, as we walk, think enough about it. That we have eyes to see this beauty, and we have lips that we might tell. How great is God Almighty, who has made all things well. In that lovely hymn, How Great Thou Art. As we walk on the mountains and see the grandeurs and the rolling streams and all the rest of it, the wonder of the magnificence of it all, surely it lifts us. It inspires us to think beyond creation to the one who's creator. Walking in nature. And the second point in our walk to God, or walk with God, is walking with self. I'm sure there are times, if people were beholding my wife and myself, maybe I'm half a mile behind her and she's away in front, or the other way around. Is there something wrong with their marriage, maybe people ask. But you know, there's a ministry in walking alone. Time to think. Where am I going? What is my destiny? Who am I following? Important questions to ask as we walk just on our own. These basic questions, so basic to life and living, and certainly so basic to our walk with God. Who are we following? There are so many voices calling for allegiance in the political world, in the religious world, in advertisement and mass media. They're all calling for our support. And you know, there are times it's necessary to get away from these conflicting voices, to walk alone as we ask ourselves, who are we following? Where am I going? What is my destiny? I remember driving into a yard one time, and as I got out of the car, the gentleman came forward, and I said, I hope I'm not coming to keep you back now. You're busy. No, he said, I'm just killing time. It's a phrase we sometimes use. But you know what happens if we kill time? The day comes when time kills us. Don't just kill time. Think. It's an insult to the intelligence, to the brain power that God has given us, if we don't ask ourselves basic questions like, what is my destiny? Where am I going? Am I going away from God? Or am I growing in my faith up into the fullness of the stature of the person that God wants me to be? Yes, there's a ministry as we walk, to walk in the midst of the beauty and grandeur of God's creation, to walk alone. And more challenging still, to walk with others. You know, when you think of it, walking with others is a huge challenge. When we think of all the wars that we read about in the last century and since, they were all fought because somehow or another people fell out. Nation with nation, area with area, political party with political party. And the marriages that sometimes break apart, they're a result of falling out. Engaging has not happened. And the whole thing falls apart. That causes the shedding of many tears, much anguish, and in a war situation, such a loss of life and such injury of limb. I watched a program the other night on Aleppo in Syria. That city, absolutely devastated. And think of a few years ago, it was looked on as a lovely city, teeming with life. Where are those people today? So many of them's dead, including little children that have been swept off the face of the earth. For what? Because of people. Man's inhumanity to man, making countless thousands mourn. And it's still happening as we worship here this morning in First Ahachel Church. That's the kind of world we're living in. So the challenge of walking with others is a daily challenge in our own homes, in our place of work, in our communities, in our province. And you know where disagreement has got us as far as a province is concerned. And if you're older like myself, you'll know the tragedy of the troubles and the loss of life. Because people couldn't walk with each other. They fell out. Politics blinded them to the fact of the waste of life, the squandering of limb, and the tragedy of it all. The waste of it all. The squandering of it all. Yes, walking with others is a mighty challenge. And you know, sometimes the breakout happens not just politically, but religiously as well. I'm told the Judicial Commission of our General Assembly is working overtime at the minute because of problems in congregations. It shouldn't happen, but it does happen. People falling out, disagreements, rather than getting round the Word of God to sort out their differences in a Christian way. And as you know, it sometimes even happens in the home. Mommy goes one way, daddy goes another way. Daddy's living under a different roof than mommy. It happens. And I've seen in my ministry it's happening so often, much to the consternation and pain of the little children that they have brought into the world. The tragedy of it all, through failing to walk, to agree, or to disagree amicably. What does the Lord require of me? To walk humbly with my God. How am I to walk? I'm to walk as Jesus walked. God's word this morning has told us how we should walk. Have you got the message? And finally, walking with God. Some of my most treasured times of prayer are as I walk, talking to God, talking things over, allowing God to talk to me as I talk to God. a conversation, a wonderful ministry. We're told Enoch walked with God. Does that describe you? Does it describe me? Alas, as far as I'm concerned, sometimes not. I'm so taken up with the cares of this world, with deceitfulness, with whatever, that sometimes as I walk this, my thoughts turn upward. The magnificence of creation, the wonder of it all, as I ask myself those basic questions, the challenge of walking with other people and walking with God. Walking with God is surely a challenge of every Christian. And sometimes it's not easy in today's complex, bewildered, baffling world. My thoughts are particularly with young people today. And young people, yes, those of us who are older do remember the challenge that you face. Challenges that we knew nothing about. It's not easy because of the secularism that is blowing so strongly in today's society. Materialism, godlessness, paganism. It's rife within our own community. And alas, it's not all outside what's known as the Protestant community. I resolved to myself as I drove through a loyalist estate some time ago, as the bonfires get higher, it seems to me the incidence of secularism, materialism, paganism, call it what you will, that results in living, and living that's very much contrary to the mind and will of God. I urged the children a few minutes ago to plant their feet in the footsteps of Jesus, to walk the walk with Jesus. Sometimes in the church we're good at talking the talk. But you know, talk's cheap. It's quite another thing to walk the walk. Day in and day out, year in and year out. And fulfilling the desire that the apostle had in mind as he talked about his growing up into the fullness of the stature of what it means to be a God-centered woman and a God-centered man. Friends in a huckle, the day comes when the romance goes out of life, when all the emphasis with getting and having is a thing of the past, when it matters precious little what we have, when it only matters who we have. If we have not a faith, what have we? A dear lady said to me in my role as chaplain in Lycan Valley Hospital some time ago, "Where would I be now if I didn't have my faith?" The prognosis was not good. The time that she had left on earth, according to the consultant, was not long. What had she? As a youngish woman, she had surrendered her life to Jesus Christ and sought to follow him as Lord. And now, as life neared the end, she treasured more and more the faith that she had embraced in Jesus Christ. On that day, when we're called to wear that garment in which there are no pockets, it matters precious little what we have. It only then matters who we have. If we have Christ, we can smile at the storms. If we have Christ, we can say with the Apostle Paul, I am persuaded that neither height nor depth, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from Christ Jesus, our Lord. Friends, today, get back to walking the walk with God. Yes, you and I are weak, but He is mighty. Reach up your weak hand and clasp the strong hand of Christ, that you continue the journey of life, having planted your footsteps in the footsteps of Jesus, that He may lead you beyond the highways and byways of this life and bring you at the last to dwell in God's house forever. Walking the walk with nature, with self, with other people, with God. Let's pray. Grant us then that wisdom, O God, to plant our feet in the footsteps of Christ, that walking with Him all the days of this life, we may at the last be brought to dwell in your house forever. In Jesus' name, amen.